You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
His name is David Sampson. You can catch him on tour, the NPDS tour, Nothing Personal with David Sampson tour, at a city near you. Get your tickets, davidsampsonpodcast.com, or I guess just follow Juju, which is what David told us earlier, that Juju's also selling tickets because he's going to be at the Atlanta show, right, Juju?
Absolutely. We're going to be in there having a lot of fun, man. Salute to my big brother, David.
There you go. Cities and dates are on your screen right now at a city winery near you. Is there a deal going on with City Winery behind the scenes?
It's in front of the scenes.
Okay.
It's not behind the scenes at all.
That's not just
you think it was a coincidence?
Yeah.
I mean,
City Winery's available again. Oh, all right. Let's keep it going.
Love those guys.
City Winery's a fun place, actually. They have a ton of shows, and they fit me into their packed calendar, and people just come into shows. They come day of. They're just fans of City Winery, and they come. I'm going to a City Winery show in New York on Friday to see Joshua Radin. And I've never seen him before, but I want to check out the venue because I'm doing New York April 29th. Special guest there as well, including maybe someone from the Le Batard universe. But it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited.
Joshua,
what's the worst that can happen, Juju? I get the flop sweats. Right? I stand up on stage and go totally silent. The lights go on and I look around and I say nothing. Yeah, I like my chances.
Well, I mean, the worst that could happen is that nobody shows up, right? Like that's just you and Juju, and it's just a cavernous.
No,
scene.
That's not the worst thing that could happen.
That's not the worst at all.
The worst thing that could happen is like violence or something crazy.
Right? Hey, I'm gonna do the Chris Cody thing. Violence at the show might actually help.
Let's not promote that.
I'm not promoting it.
No, thank you.
I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying.
Can we cut that out?
By the way, Joshua,
I actually disagree with you. I mean, I think it's so important to have that feeling of discomfort in your stomach that I have about the tour. I think it's good to go outside of your comfort zone. It's good to expand and try to do things that you don't normally do, to try to do a show for an hour and a half in front of an audience, and to treat the audience, whether there's 10 people or 100 people or 20,000 people, you treat the audience with great respect, appreciation for them giving of their time and money to be entertained by you. Just like with my podcast, the first show I ever did, I think, had 5 downloads. And I took it as seriously then as I do now. It doesn't matter. So I actually don't agree. That is not close to the worst thing. The fact when I can spend time with Juju anywhere, it's already close to the best thing.
Have you ever done?
I appreciate that, brother.
Have you ever done any sort of live work other than cussing a bunch of people out and telling them $1
billion? $2
billion.
Yes. $2
billion? I starred in a play in Miami called Not Ready for Prime Time. Which was, it had an 18 show run, back in 2000 and it may have been 14. I played Lorne Michaels, the founder of Saturday Night Live. And I enjoyed that very much.
When was this?
I think 2014. I tried out as president of the Marlins. I tried out for a play in Miami and I was cast and I was so nervous. We had rehearsals. I would go to games and then go to rehearsals. And it went no games. I'd rehearse till midnight. And I was one of the stars. And I had to learn all my lines and get off book. And every time, a little funny thing about those shows, which helped inform Nothing Personal Today, every time the stage manager would give the 5-minute warning, meaning the show's about to start, and I started the show, I forgot every one of my lines. So I kept a script right in my dressing room, and I would relook at it, and then the minute I would say the first word, it would all just come back to me. But that feeling of nervousness, of absolute fear that you will go on stage and have no idea what to say, that informed me to Nothing Personal and led me to Nothing Personal, where I have no script, and I talk for 50 minutes just off the top of my head.
How did Jeffrey Loria feel about his president, like, dashing after a game to go hit up rehearsals?
He was not happy, just like he wasn't happy when I went on Survivor. But he had to give permission, as did the commissioner at the time, had to give permission for me to go on Survivor and to be gone for that long during the course of a season. CBS would not cast me without permission from the commissioner and from Jeffrey.
There's an absolutely brutal line in here, David, from the Miami New Times about when you were doing this that said, "Eager stage door Johnny's take note. Not ready for prime time. Will run only slightly longer than the Marlins postseason hopes. Coming to an end April 13th.
Ouch.
Big yikes.
Ouch.
Listen, Jeremy, I got to tell you, it is, I am perfectly okay with failure, and I don't view that as a failure. Just like the tour, no matter what, won't be a failure because I will learn something. Every time I have failed in my life, it has led to a future success. And I failed plenty and had plenty of success. So I love failing. I actually look for it. I embrace it. And I'm not scared of it.
I want to make it clear, I didn't say it was a failure. Just the writer from the Miami New Times did.
And I'd also like to point out that if you are experiencing failure and don't have the kind of attitude that David does about it, then just hit up the law offices of Amin El-Hassan. We'll get your reputation clean by coming to Amin.
David, by doing what?
Coming to Amin.
Oh, okay.
To him. Okay.
Two. That two is doing a lot of work.
Kick saving and beat.
That two is doing the Spider-Man holding everything back right there. David, opening day is tomorrow. I'll be honest. I did not know, even though I feel like I'm embroiled with baseball news every day through my algorithm timelines, through my group chats, through my interactions with people day to day. And the reason is because all we talk about all the time is Shohei Ohtani.
It's a nightmare. Opening day is supposed to be, and it is the greatest day of the calendar for any baseball fan. I remember as a kid watching opening day. And then when I was old enough going to bars, I would skip class always on opening day. I just loved the fact that there were games all day. And they finally counted after spring training when no one cares what the result of the game is. And you're always in first place on opening day. So I used to love that you had a shot. Always, I always wanted to win opening days. I don't remember my record in my 18 opening days. I want to assume maybe something like 8-10, just under 500.
Okay.
But I always felt when I won that we could go 162-0. And when we lost, that I was going to lose 162. And it's so irrational. You must have felt that in basketball, I mean.
Never. Not that. Yes, the feeling of you win the first game, like, this is going to be a great season. 82-0 never occurred to me, though, sadly.
I always thought about that. And so opening day, you wear a tie. I would always go to every employee on opening day and say happy opening day and thank them for the work. So much work happens during the off season, not just on the baseball side, but on the marketing side, on the sales side, just thanking people for what they're doing and watching fans, no matter how many people were there, they were just so happy. Opening day is happiness. And I associate it as such. And tomorrow there's a game at 1 o'clock Eastern and all the way until late. So it's a fun day for me.
David, waxing romantic about opening day is a lovely conversation. Maybe we can do that next year. This year, we're talking about Shohei.
I won't do it.
What?
Can you believe what Dave Roberts did? Dave Roberts saying, hey, it's better without the interpreter. There's no buffer now between us and Ohtani. I think this is really great.
That's lemonade right there. You got lemons? Give me them lemons. I'll squeeze it, add some sugar, lemonade.
Let me tell you, it's absolute horse hockey because there's another interpreter, and Ohtani being approachable or not has nothing to do with the existence of Ipe Mizuhara. What's happening is that the Dodgers have distanced themselves so much from him, as has Shohei. Everybody has just thrown him under the bus, and yet we don't know anything. His statement yesterday or 2 days ago was an absolute joke. It was misguided. It was silly to have done in the first place. And he put himself in a position where he better have told the whole truth and nothing but the truth, or he's going to get in serious trouble. And he didn't even answer the most important question, like, hey, I gave him permission to wire money out of my account because he paid my cable bill. Little did I know he was buying out a bookie.
Do you believe
him? He didn't even say that.
Do you believe
him? So what's the use?
Do you believe him? Based on I'm just saying, based on the subtext of everything that's happened and the idea that the interpreter just embezzled $4.5 million from him, do you believe that explanation?
Do I believe there are players who don't know how much money they have in their account? Yes, I know that for a fact. Do I believe there are players who depend on business managers to help them with their finances? Yes, I know that. Here's what I also know. There is not a bank in the world that will wire $500,000 to a bookie and speak to someone who's not on the account. It doesn't exist.
Right. Boom.
The quote here is, I've never bet on baseball or any other sports. That, to me, says that he's bet on the Oscars, he's bet on the Grammys, he's bet on everything other than
National
sports.
Anthem.
Yep, all that stuff. The Gatorade color, the everything. David, before we let you go, you want to review Ricky Gervais' Armageddon? Is that right?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about comedy routines. I watched two of them recently, Ricky Gervais' Armageddon, and I watched the new Pete Davidson called something Fonzarelli. I can't remember what it was called. And I'm thinking about political correctness, and I'm thinking about comedy, and I'm thinking about Dan worrying about it's the end of the world and all the issues that he has. And Ricky did this whole routine about what it means to be at the end of the world and whether or not, in fact, we are. And this is the same comedian who hosted the Golden Globes and really was quite talkative toward stars in the room in a way that Jimmy Kimmel never would be at the Oscars.
Acerbic.
And I was very. So I was thinking about comedians who go on stage, whether they've got four people at a set, 10 people or 100 people or 2,000 people. And the line that they have to walk now is so different than it used to be. And I was thinking back to Don Rickles or Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy, other comedians who just had freer rein, thinking about it's harder now to make people laugh than it's ever been. And I give credit to those who try.
I don't know. I watched it. I loved it. But I also think a lot of these comedians now, their audiences are self-selecting. So he knows who his audience is. He can do these jokes for this audience that he maybe couldn't do at a Golden Globes or at something where he wasn't the main ticket.
It's a Netflix special, though. How do you control the audience that way?
The people who don't want to watch it don't watch it.
Yeah.
Good point. I don't care what Ricky Gervais has to say anymore. I don't know.
Really?
Nah.
Oh, man.
I used to.
He's hilarious.
There's enough that's been said that I'm out.
Is the reason you don't care is you don't find him funny or you find him offensive?
Kind of both. Like, his comedy has become, oh, poor me, I can't say the same shit I used to, and I am so sick of hearing comedians say that.
But he
just
says,
be funny.
He says it in a funny way, though.
You just can go the other way and go Dave Chappelle.
Well, like, I don't like... That's a whole other conversation. We have 8 seconds.
Nothing personal with David Sampson. The tour, you can get tickets, davidsampsonpodcast.com. David, thank you.
Have a great day.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically, I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Don Libertard.
That's how it's going to end. The mailing it in, end of the retirement. Chris, go get me this. It's just going to be him coming out and hitting the one or two notes of that kind of thing, and you know it, that's and then right. Just giving us finger guns and leaving.
Baby.
You should listen to the Greg Cody Show podcast, because that's all we do for 55 minutes a week is just say catchphrases. We even make songs about them. And you know it is a song, for crying out loud. That's great. Hopefully that's a Suey nominee for best song. And you know it, baby, and you know it.
Stugatz.
And you know it, baby, and you know it. And you know it, baby, and you know it. And you know it, baby, and you know it.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
March Sadness. We got a lot of catching up to do. But I'm excited because this category, year in and year out, whether it's for Suey's, whether it's for this, always gives us gold, right? The songs
are the strongest.
This is the strong region, right?
I don't know. Greg Cody's region yesterday has banger after banger, after banger.
Chris, man, first of all,
Nice Hat Asshole is the seedings, it's a crime that it was like a 10th seed or whatever it was.
The seedings were insane. We're insane. Forget about Nice Hat Asshole. When he didn't want to do the Back in My Day because he thought it was all a setup, that one was like an underdog.
Luckily, right. It's all voting based. So go to our social medias. But it's not the point about the voting base. I need to know who the committee was that put this together.
Billy.
Terrible ass commissioner as usual.
Billy's the head of the committee.
There you go.
Garbage.
Now it all makes
nice
sense.
Nice Hat Asshole. But we have the song division. I don't know why I called it a division. The song conference.
Region,
yeah. Opening round still. You can go vote on our social medias. The first round will be ending this week. Number four, The Wrong Song.
You are so wrong. Baby, you're wrong, 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 wrong. I heard you taking your blows. You got it wrong, so let it go. You're wrong, 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 wrong.
That's a four.
How is that a four?
That's a four? There were three other songs seated higher. Had better seasons.
13.
That's Caitlin Clark in Iowa, bro. They are tripping. Whoever ranked this needs to go to jail for an hour.
For an hour.
1 hour.
With Greeny or without Greeny?
With Greeny.
That four seed is going against 13 seed Unwritten Book by Stugatz.
My book's unwritten, but still it's for sale, 'cause I closed the deal. I'm getting to it, but so are my friends. We all know how this ends. Staring at the laptop before you, open up a browser window, let your fingers hunt and peck for StuGatzBook.com. Only $29 for the hardback, so close you can almost taste it. Pre-sale for incomplete work, watch the money roll in. No one else is gonna profit, only I will rake it in. No one else could get away with this shit. Click the link now to obtain it. Best of luck is you're explaining to your friends why you're purchasing. You're all in on the grift. Yes, it's my name on the cover. That means I get full credit. No one knows, no one knows if this thing even comes out. Click the link now to obtain it. Best of luck is you're explaining to your friends why you're purchasing a book that's still unwritten.
All right.
Blowout.
That game. That one was a slow burn. Juju, I'm with you. It's still a blowout. But, like, they had some heart.
God, that's so good.
You know what it was? Juju, they went down 40 earlier. And then, like, in the last 5 minutes, started hitting threes. Yeah. So, final score, down 20, maybe 18.
Yeah, you're right.
But, like, at that end, they built up at that beginning. Oof.
Bro, it just made me feel like he wants me to go to DeVry University. Like, it's such a cheat.
Let me remind the people that March Sadness is presented by Get Your Guide. Discover over 100,000 unforgettable travel experiences in the U.S. and around the world at getyourguide.com. Keeping it moving here in the tournament. 5 seed, the Sports Whisperer song.
Bill, it's Tom. Listen up. Listen, Belichick, let me whisper in your ear. Tell you something that you might like to hear. You had a nice career, but the end looking sad. Mind if I tell you about this plan I had? My home's been gaining on me way too fast. Surely as a coach that you should get past. I can play at least another year or two. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm calling up Woody and we're going to the Jets. Twice a year we can beat the Patriots. We're kicking both Salah and Aaron to the curb. I'm calling up Gronk and we're flipping up the bird. Never really wanted Greg Olsen's spot. Wanted him to know how much cash I got. You need a meet Bill, I'll always be the boss. After we're done, you can coach lacrosse. You better listen up. You better listen up. To recap, we're gonna partner up. We're gonna partner up. Hey Bill, you better listen up. You better listen up. To recap, we're gonna partner up. We're gonna partner up. Like me,
right,
that's a banger. And that is going against Tony and the crew on the Tony Show. Oh. Tony, do you remember this? Singing Closing Time. Now, Tony,
of course I do.
During that song, Tony was complaining that he doesn't like his matchup here.
No, anything that has me attached to it, Billy has put me against one of the best things in the entire region. So I'm like, dude, anything I have is not working.
Let's listen. Closing Time.
Closing Time. This room won't be open till your brothers or sisters come. So gather up your jackets, move it to the exits. I hope you have found a friend. Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Well, I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take our musical guest, Lewis. Hey. That was a fun night.
The guitar was the champion of that.
Lewis,
you hear him
that.
Riffing in the background, it was beautiful.
I love all those brothers in that shot. Like everybody that was in there singing, oh my God, I love all of y'all. But this is a bigger blowout than the last round.
Oh. It is. Yeah. It's true. But again, it's because Billy's putting all the seating together. Because that could have fought against something less, like maybe Karius, Jalen Brunson.
The DeVry Institute.
Yeah. All right. Song.
Now it's time for the one seed. 1 vs. 16. Let's the one it. Seed, Puka Nacua.
His name is Cooper, good at running curls. But when his hammy got a tear, he saw Puka standing there. His play diminished, hustle take over. Nacua hopped into the car. McVay has maybe found a star. And then that Stafford threw him 25-2. Oh, there's a brand new kid in town out of BYU. They call him Puka.
Puka
Nacua. The glow.
banger.
Not a one seed.
Wow.
What?
Get out of here.
Blasphemous.
Not a one seed. Who are they playing?
Now, I like this. This is a tough 16 seed. Kachuk you.
You're mad they traded Huberto for a brand new love, and I'm like, Kachuk you. Your name is Chris Whitting, and you said it wasn't enough. I'm like, Kachuk you. It's crazy. You diss for Hage. Lomberg's kicking it in high gear. You pick Trocheck. Well, I'm rolling with Barkay. The pan wagon don't need you here. You missed on Matthew. And all they do for you. Well, he's a goal getter. Winning him is so bitter. Ooh, I got some news for you. Coward, go tell your little New York friends. You're mad they traded Huberto for a brand new love. And I'm like, Kachuk.
That is a tough one. That's a 16
seed. I'm going to say it right now. I was trying to have it up on my screen, but alack and alas. This is St. Peter's right here.
Making a run?
This is St. Peter's right here.
Brother.
Upset City.
Against Puka Nacua?
Upset
Are you losing
City.
Your mind? Are you crazy?
Upset City. That's what I'm picking. That's my bracket. You got your bracket. I got mine.
All right. Moving on here. The 7 seed, Mr. Stugatz Lies.
They call him Jonathan Weens. He's skirting out of a fine. Gonna be out of town. He's gotta have it all. And he's lying to Chris. I did it end up like this. There was a scheduling miss. When was he scheduling this? But I'm in it too deep. And I'm waving a flag while he's reeking of smoke. And he's taking the bag. Now he's off with the dead. And Billy's stomach is sick. Tell me, what have we bred? Well, he's betting the chance. Now he turns on his breath.
That song is going to be now. This song, that 7 seed is going against a 10 seed made by Taylor. And This is, if I remember correctly, one of the worst songs we've ever played.
It's a 3. The crowd goes into illusion. Oh, winning in the playoffs, not an illusion. It's a heat check. He's on fire. But let it fly. Saw the contract. They said he was overpaid, man. Said that he was overrated and that we had no plan. They were wrong and I am beaming. Hear the Mecca say, carry us, Jalen Brunson. Comes up clutch, that's why we won. New York knows you are the best. Not the joke no more.
I'm being told Taylor is predicting a run in the tournament. He thinks he's going to make a run.
And on March 16, 2016, UConn beat UMBC 104-45.
Terriers.
And that's why I think Taylor going to beat whoever that was who sung the first song. Because, look, bro, I like that song. It was from the heart. He loves the Knicks. So that was raw emotion we heard there.
All right. Last matchup here. Gabagool, New York, 8 seed.
Start spreading the news. NFC and A Offensive Players of the Week in New York, New York. DeVito, he rules. Wilson making plays. The Mormon and Italian in New York, New York. Zach Wilson soaking with a mom, just the tip. Tommy DeVito's the man, forget about it. These offensive lines protecting all day. They'll actually get some passes off in old New York. If they can make it there, they'll make it anywhere. Gabagool, New York, New York.
We should have just played the Gabagool part.
Yeah, that was really honestly. Yeah, honestly, that was really I feel long. The same.
Just for
why
the Gabagool.
Why did he pick my worst song?
It's a slow burn.
Well, Jeremy, that 8 seed is going against another one of your songs. Whoa. Bills, Bills, Bills.
There we go. Ding, tick-a-ding.
At first we started out real cool, starting the season with a 9-3 record. You're getting comfortable, ain't doing things like running the ball, changing up Mike McDaniel. The offense started struggling. Tyreek is faster than a car, but it don't matter if you can't get him the ball and have the running game to ever have consistency. Hold on to that Titans lead, and now you're losing week to week. Struggling, interception, oh my brother. Quarterback, why haven't I found another? A baller, when times get hard, I need someone to scramble around instead of a pocket pass to get shoved to the ground.
Can you beat the Bills? Can you beat the Buffalo Bills? Can you beat the Buffalo Bills? If we did, then maybe I would chill, but I don't think we do. So the Vince and me are through.
You guys feel like Puka Nacua is going to win easily, right?
It's a bit of a buzzsaw in this
that's
region.
That's what I'm rooting for.
So, but if it beats Chuck U, which I think, to Chuck U, I think that one is better, then it gets to play probably this song right here, which might be the matchup of the entire region.
I think you need to get your guy, like the sponsors, and realize that Puka Nacua is going all the way.
And let me remind you that March Sadness is presented by Get Your Guide. Right. Discover over 100,000 unforgettable travel experiences in the U.S. and around the world at getyourguide.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Lebatard.
All of us who were watching college football elevated everything the weekend was because we missed football in general so very much.
You didn't watch the ending of UTEP Jacksonville State. It was awesome.
A dizzy.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Stugatz.
It's such a lane for you. Just everything in college football is awesome. Any single thing that happens, she gets deliriously happy about.
Don't you miss viewing sports through that prism, though? Like, I'm envious of Lucy. Like, I wish that I could still be happy.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I was aware that J-Lo has an album coming out, Jennifer Lopez. I was aware there's an accompanying video piece with that album. What I was not aware is that that piece is not a documentary about the album or the making of the album. But Lucy informed me earlier that it is in fact a quote-unquote fictional piece of work. I'm still not clear.
So it is a movie So there's two separate parts of this. There's the movie of the album, and then there's the documentary about making the movie of the album. I watched the movie first, and wow. I'm not going to say spoiler alert, because like, you watch at your own risk. It's not, there isn't necessarily a plot, and J-Lo said that she's not the main character, but she is the main character, and basically what I think, what I believe to have happened is it's a movie about her finding Ben Affleck again, but it's not about her and Ben Affleck specifically, except for that there's a lot of people in space who are giving her advice, and she's building a metal heart, and there's this hummingbird that keeps
is
showing
up. Is she an astronaut?
She is not an astronaut. She is a woman addicted to love. Fat Joe is her therapist.
Named Joe.
Now, I think we need to be clear when you say addicted to love because of...
No, addicted to love.
No, that's just saying because there's someone with certain legal issues who goes by the name of love. That's
who also is in her past.
Who used to date her. So we're not talking about that love. We're talking about love, the emotion.
Yes. And so it's she's addicted to love and finding... partners to fix. And so the premise of the movie is that she starts off in a factory and they're creating rose petals on the conveyor belt. I don't know what they were using to build
Dude,
that.
What are you talking about?
You sound like you're hot.
So then they
push the rose petals into the conveyor belt and J-Lo does a dance and then she gets all muddy and you're like, where did the mud come from? And then they build a mechanical, a big metal heart and then she goes...
This is on Earth.
Is
this a dream?
No, I wish it was a dream.
Means dreams.
And then she goes to, and then there's this hummingbird that shows, and oh wait, but she's also telling a story about how, the story of how a hummingbird found love, I don't know. And then she ends up in a glass house with her boyfriend, and then she gets married three times, and then her friends are like, hey J-Lo, you're addicted to love, and then she's like, hey, you're all terrible people, but her name's not J-Lo. And then they keep flashing to space where there's Sofia Vergara and Jane Fonda and Trevor Noah and Post Malone, and they're all in space, but they're all Zodiac signs, and they're trying to guide her, but they're not allowed to help her, so they're just talking about what is happening to her, and then it goes back down to J-Lo, and she's now broken up with her three husbands, and then she's talking to Fat Joe about it, and he's like, hey, you're addicted to love, and she's like, no, I'm not. Then she watches Barbara Streisand and cries, and then she starts to realize she's not addicted to love, she's addicted to finding Ben Affleck,
and then she gets addicted to...
That does get said in the movie.
Oh, okay.
I believe from there, this little girl shows up, and the little girl's like, why don't you love me? Or I didn't get loved enough. And J-Lo's like, by your parents? And she's like, no, by you. I'm younger J-Lo.
And so then
they hug each other, and she feels happy. And then the hummingbird shows back up, and you're like, where'd the hummingbird come from? And then they go to space, and they're all cheering in space. They're like, yes, J-Lo. Woo, we're so proud of you. And then she's back in, not on Earth, but not on space. And then Ben Affleck shows up and they ride off in a motorcycle together. But Ben Affleck's also in the movie the entire time as a weird news anchor that will randomly be in the background being like, breaking news, love is dead.
Dog, let me tell you right now.
And that's what happened.
That's love.
Sounds beautiful.
That, you know what's love? Not anything that Lucy said other than the fact that Ben Affleck agreed to be in this thing.
Well, in the documentary, he was like, hey, I really wish you wouldn't do this. Like, so the documentary is her...
This is separate.
She made a documentary about making this movie.
And so I don't recommend the documentary. The documentary was terrible. I also know the documentary...
The documentary was terrible.
The documentary was really bad. I know the documentary was scripted because someone went up to Ben Affleck and the documentary was like, you're my favorite Batman. I said, there's no way that's true. So that's scripted. That's a lie.
Martha!
And then, but in the documentary, Ben Affleck's like, yeah, J-Lo really wanted to make this whole album about, you know, finding me again, because her last album came out 20 years ago when she was with Ben Affleck, and it's all about finding love, and she said it's the greatest love story never told. And then Ben Affleck's like, well, you're making a movie about it, so it feels like you're telling it. And the whole time, he's just, like, very apprehensive. He's oddly, like, weirdly a narrator in some parts and not in some parts. It was really odd.
Is it called This Is Me Now?
This Is Me. So that's her new album.
..
And I think that's the name of the movie. And
hold on. The Rotten Tomatoes score on... Or is this the...
This Is Me Now, I believe, is the documentary. The movie is The Greatest Love Story Never Told, I believe. But okay. She made the movie, so she told it.
Because... yeah, that's a good point. Because This Is Me Now, a love story, has 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, 78% audience score.
Not Cinephobe eligible.
That, I thought for sure the way you were describing it, I was like, on a very special edition of Cinephobe, Lucy Rodine makes
her
debut.
You should watch it because it's one of those things where, so J-Lo financed it herself because everybody backed out. And it's something that like... Yeah, oh, there's the awesome scene as the documentary is her assistant is just going through names of being like, Jennifer Coolidge said no, Derek Hough said no, he was into it anyways.
Bill Winnington.
Like, all these people said no. And J-Lo's like, I know why they're saying no. It's because they're afraid. They're afraid of me doing something that's never been done before.
Oh, my God.
I had a lot going on.
Okay. Jennifer Coolidge. The documentary is the one called The Greatest Love Story Never Told.
Mind.
It's
yeah.
The other way around. The documentary has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think something happened to Rotten Tomatoes, guys.
88% on audience score. I'm calling bullshit.
It's
something happened.
It was really bad. And like we got this like very remarkable, very like viral TikTok scene where J-Lo, she's in her gym working out. And then I'm going to take my headset off for a second and show you what she did. She went like this. And she was like, "This my hair when it's wild and crazy like this, it reminds me back when I was a young girl in the Bronx, just running up and down the block, so crazy, so free, that wild little girl." The whole movie is just her being like, "You guys know I'm from the Bronx, right? You're aware that I'm from the Bronx. Do you remember me from the block?
From the block.
Jenny? Me from the block?
That was you."
And there's
this movie sounds beautiful. So I want to see it
you
now.
You should watch it because it's an insane thing to watch. And it reminded me of my favorite internet clip of J-Lo is when she's back in the Bronx on the block and she goes up to her old house and some guy is standing there and she's like, "I used to live here." And he's like, "Okay. Who are you?" And she's like, "Jennifer." And he's like, "Jennifer who?" And she was like, "Jennifer Lopez. I used to like live up there." And he's like, "Okay." And you can tell she's so offended that he doesn't know who she is. The whole thing, it's this wild, like very like navel-gazy product of Jennifer Lopez being like, I am creating things that have never been done. I am so like smart and talented. And I do think she's very talented. She's a hell of a dancer. Yeah.
But she can't sing.
She cannot sing. Objectively, she just can't. She's not a very good singer.
She can sing.
No, she can't.
She's good.
Come on.
Juju.
She can't sing.
I love you, brother. You don't need to do this.
Y'all are entitled to all opinions. I love all her songs.
She can dance.
You love her songs.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she can sing.
Cash I want, even if you were broke.
My love don't cost a thing.
Every note.
It's not even, that doesn't mean she can sing, Jeremy. It's, oh, wow, this is her. Oh, my God.
We need the audio.
Oh, my God. Do we have the rights to play the audio? This is coming off of someone's Amazon Prime account, right?
Well, I did a perfect reenactment.
Crazy
so
little girl. No limits.
It was a great reenactment.
I like taking my hair out like this. It reminds me like when I was 16 in the Bronx, running up and down the block. Crazy little girl who used to bleep.
What voice is
she
that?
She literally used the block.
Who used to what?
As if we didn't remember. She's Jenny from the block.
Juju, she didn't sing her songs. That was the more important part. It's not just that
fake news.
Okay.
What is this?
I see a lot of haters.
Why are y'all going after J-Lo? Well,
I've always been a J-Lo hater.
I'm not a J-Lo fan.
You're such a kind person.
I don't like J-Lo.
Just take J-Lo.
No, because she's mean.
I don't hate her.
She's just mean.
Much like I don't hate Milli Vanilli, but they didn't sing their songs. Dude, you're gonna be like, hold on now.
Girl, you know it's true. I love Milli Vanilli.
And J-Lo's always been mean. She was mean as a judge on American Idol, and it made me dislike her forever.
You need a mean person to be the judge.
No.
You need one mean judge on these talents. You have to.
She wasn't Simon.
Yes.
She wasn't witty.
Yeah, she wasn't witty. She was just kind of like, Jeremy explained it well.
Yeah, she was mean to the people she was jealous of. She was mostly just mean to the women.
Really?
Who could sing.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just being honest, man. I watched it with my own eyes at 14 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was pretty reckless.
I watched it. I don't know what to tell you.
Time to throw away all your analytic credibility and get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
I don't know if you're good, but go ahead.
Jennifer Lopez hates women.
Whoa!
Obviously kidding.
No.
The greatest love story never told.
It's already clipped.
That's it. Put it in the March Sadness next year. Bold claims. Reckless speculation.
Look, man, I watched her judge Haley Reinhart on season whatever of American Idol.
I love her.
And every time, every single time that she crushed a song, J-Lo be like, a little pitchy for me. J-Lo, you can't sing.
I mean, look, that doesn't mean it wasn't a little pitchy.
And she's got ears, dude. She can hear.
This is on American Idol for, if she can't sing, why was she judging?
Also, pitchy was a word.
That's a whole other conversation.
Pitchy is a word that was invented on American Idol. My man, Randy.
Randy's the man.
For me, dog.
Bruh, Scott Foster can't dunk from the free throw line, but he know a damn charge when he see
exactly
one.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right.
Rebuttal?
Right. Sure, I don't have it. I mean, I know that I'm right.
Look,
I don't
I'm
have
Team
to
Jeremy here because you. I watched the whole movie. I watched the whole documentary. J-Lo is not my favorite person on
Lewis
the planet.
Lewis says I'm right.
Let me say that. Let me say this.
Time to throw away all journalistic credibility and get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
Jeremy is envious
You're
of
J-Lo. Good. You're good.
Oh, thank you. Jeremy is envious of J-Lo. And that's why all this hate comes up.
Damn.
You know, all
TV
this-
missed it, but Juju just felt it before.
As a theater kid, you look at all the opportunities she has to sing, dance, and act. Triple threat. And you're like, should have been me.
She's a double threat. She can act. She can dance. She can't sing.
I'm with you, Juju. Now, you done recruited me to the other side now.
I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm
right. Team J-Lo here.
Look, all this talk reminds me of back when I was a young girl living in the Bronx. My hair so wild and crazy and free. Just crazy little girl running up and down the block. Just brings me back to
Did you know
that
she
time.
Was from the block? Did you know? She and A-Rod deserve each other.
They were
I wish they were still
They
together.
Were a good couple. Now,
they deserved each other.
Brother, the Minnesota Timberwolves are looking better than ever, bro. Watch out for them. I definitely can see them or the Oklahoma City Thunder ending up in the Western Conference Finals.
Because they're the 2 and 3 seed?
Because they're awesome. I watch basketball every waking second
Hell
of
yeah,
it.
Dude.
You dig me?
I want to talk more about the Minnesota Timberwolves, but not about them in the playoffs. About stealing.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.